We're reading from Ephesians chapter 5 and commencing to read at verse 21, and you'll find it in the Pew Bibles on page 183 of the New Testament section. Ephesians 5 and verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Saviour. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is a profound one, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ephesians 5, verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is a profound one, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. And that last sentence is a staggering sentence, isn't it? It really is difficult to imagine that it would have occurred to have any of us that that was the case, unless we'd been told it. That verse 31, the verse we studied last week at the beginning of Genesis, the verse that seemed so obviously about human marriage, contained a truth hidden in it, a mystery. That it isn't just about husbands and wives, it refers to the way Christ and the church relate. It describes the gospel. That is the great secret of marriage. God's great rescue plan for his people was planned before the foundation of the world, built into the whole pattern of human living. Right from the start has been this picture of it. Now, of course, it was only when the gospel age dawned and when the gospel rescue was lived out in Jesus, only when they finally took off the wrappers, so to speak, and unveiled the original, that we discovered that in every family we had a copy of it. At times, admittedly, a very scarred and battered one, sadly sometimes just a cheap imitation. All the same, every wedding, every marriage is designed on this original. You know the way at the end of television programs, they roll up the credits and sometimes you just get a line which says, based on an idea by. Well, every time you go to a wedding service, you can just think to yourself as they go through it, yes, based on an idea by the gospel. For this relationship, marriage is a copy of that relationship, the gospel. The love that joins husband and wife, in verse 31, is the love that joins Christ to the church, in verse 32. In other words, the staggering secret about marriage and marriage relationship is that it's a copy. Not an original. Let that truth sink in, and you'll see why Christians have such a head start in marriage. They know what the original is. They understand the gospel. If we live in a society which is turning its back on the gospel, we really ought not to be surprised to discover it's turning its back on marriage relationships. If it doesn't know the one, it'll never understand the other. You'll understand if you let the truth that it's a copy, not an original, dawn on you too, why we can't duck out of the teaching of this whole paragraph about the roles of husbands and wives. For there's nothing cultural about them. Marriage is patterned on a relationship that is outside of culture and time. When a wife says, as one did, "I've tried the submission business on my husband, but it just didn't work," it's a most understandable sentence, but she's missed the point. For you can't put marriage in a self-contained box, you know, a pragmatic thing. Well, let's see how it'll work best for us. It comes gift-wrapped in a box labeled gospel. And a husband should remind his wife of Jesus' love. She should remind him of the church. The idea that God and his people are like husband and wife is a fairly common one in the Old Testament. But now we discover that not only is Jesus a bridegroom, but a bridegroom is to be like Jesus in this way. And not only are we, all of us who are Christians, like a bride, but a bride and a wife is to be like us, like disciples, like the church. Now, of course, every Christian is to show Christ's self-giving love. Verse 2 makes that plain. And every Christian needs to learn to submit. Verse 21 states that very clearly. So please don't switch off if you're not married. Now, this is really just another lesson on how Christians should treat one another. But there is a pattern to marriage and to the way a husband and wife relates that the New Testament never reverses. It's spelt out at the beginning of the paragraph. Verse 22, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Saviour." It's repeated again at the end of the paragraph. Verse 33, "Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, these roles are laid down to teach us how we're to relate in a marriage. Now, do listen to some words of warning. Please notice what the Bible does not say. We've successfully managed to stereotype the role of the submissive wife in about 1,001 different ways to provide a straitjacket that the Bible never imposes. I think you'll search the scriptures in vain to discover that cleaning, washing, cooking, nappy changing are all defined exclusively as women's work and therefore not to be touched by male hands. But the Bible doesn't say that. Those kinds of divisions aren't the way it determines how we're to relate. Now, instead, it lays down these principles as our roles. Get the principles clear, and it seems to me you can cut the cake in a number of ways. And you'll find the Bible positively contradicts you if you try to build superiority or value into these different roles. Now, there's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Or again, look at this paragraph, and you'll see the 20th century has got obsessed just where the apostle is not. We spend all our energies on those beginning two or three verses, whether we can expect wives in the 20th century to be subject to their husbands. The answer is, of course we can. For the mark of the disciple is not to be rebellious to their Christ. But the apostle spends the vast majority of his time on teaching husbands their role. There's another side to the coin. And we even muddy the waters there, because more than once I've come across husbands who think their Christian duty is to keep their wives submissive. Now, you can read through this paragraph as many times as you like, and you'll never find that statement made. I think the apostle would say to them, "Mind your own business." And your own business, if you're a husband, is love your wife. Because that's what's going on in the original. And marriage is intended as a copy of that original. Now, as soon as we introduce a word like love, of course, we've got to make something else clear. If the marriage relationship is a copy, not an original, it is secondly a commitment and not a feeling. A romantic love has probably done more harm to marriages than good. It's not that I've got anything against being starry-eyed or going weak at the knees, finding your heart beating faster. It's delightful on any wedding day. It's a lovely feeling for any couple to have for one another. But it's a lousy basis for marriage. It raises all the wrong questions about getting or staying married. And it gives rise to all the wrong expectations of married life. You know those photos that they love to take on wedding days of the couple in a tender embrace where the background goes all blurred and fuzzy, you know, and you've put it in a heart-shaped frame. It's got, and they all lived happily ever after, blazing out of it on neon lights. Well, keep it for your wedding album and Mills and Boone. The essential ingredient to New Testament marriage is a love that's made of different material. Now look at its nature in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. It's a command. Immediately tells you he can't be thinking of that kind of feeling, can it? Someone comes up to me and says, Hugh, go gooey over that girl. I can't do it. Going gooey doesn't work that way. But the New Testament thinks it can command husbands, love your wives. Love is a command to be obeyed in this context. It's an action word, it's a word of the will. The wedding service gets it right. Well, when I marry someone, as I frequently do, as a clergyman, I've only done it once as a husband, when I marry someone, as I frequently do, I never ask the couple, how do you feel? Would be a lethal question to ask on the day. Most of the grooms, if they were honest, would say very nervous, which probably doesn't do much for the bride's confidence. But no, the wedding service words simply ask this question, will you? Will you take her? Will you take him? Now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, Christ didn't sit back in heaven, look down on the mess we were making and saying, oh, I do feel for you all. He acted. And when we've understood this, we realize, don't we, that when people say, as they sometimes do, well, the problem with our marriage is that I'm just not in love anymore. I just don't love her anymore. It's just a code for saying, I'm being disobedient. A marriage relationship is based on a love that's a commitment, not just a feeling. It needs the toughness of that. For this relationship, this commitment, is not made for perfect people. Let me say that as plainly as I can. Marriage is not an example of how two perfect people get on together. It would be no use whatsoever if it was, would it? It's a copy of Christ's love for rebellious people. It's a picture of forgiving love, of how imperfect people can relate. That's why it's such a great relief to discover that. It's also why feelings aren't a strong enough basis. They can't survive the wear and tear of marriage. Now, we don't marry angels. Any man, someone wrote, who expects an angel for a wife is being unrealistic. You see, that's not the nature of the love that's described here. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That he might do what? Sanctify her, having cleansed her. Present her, verse 27, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be without blemish. See the assumption? She needed to be cleansed. She isn't sanctified. She's got all those things you're not meant to mention, spots, wrinkles, blemishes, and so on and so forth. She's not perfect. Love her just as Christ loves imperfect you and me. In other words, the love that's being spoken of is forgiving love. If I've not learnt forgiving love, I'll never enjoy a proper marriage relationship. When two people come together, when two living people come together at any rate, there will be conflict sooner or later. Now, having conflict isn't the issue. The real test is whether we can resolve it. Now, Josh McDowell writes this in his book. I thought about the millions of people who go through life constantly trying to insulate themselves against being vulnerable and hurt. They crave and search for real emotional intimacy, but they can never find it in their relationships because they are emotionally unable to resolve the conflicts which always arise in long-term intimate relationships. This is why there are so few lasting relationships today. Now, we're not good at forgiving and resolving conflict. It's not the same thing as pretending a situation never happened. We're very astute at doing that. Or give it the silent treatment. You know, don't talk about it and we'll just sort of hide it. Or the it doesn't matter treatment. Just shrug our shoulders and carry on regardless. Or we can keep the score all right. Now that's saying I can forgive but I can't forget. Now that's actually just another way of saying I won't forgive. Do watch out for when words like never and always creep into conversations. As in, she always does this and he never does that. It's a sure sign of scorekeeping, of smouldering resentment. We've just been logging them. Now, that's not marriage love. It's not Christ's love. We do find it desperately hard to forgive and to ask forgiveness, almost as if there's something humiliating and weak about it. But Christ didn't stay silent and didn't ignore the conflict or pretend it didn't matter. He gave himself. He did the weak, humiliating, ego-crushing thing when he hung on that cross. Now think of the shame for him. A criminal's death. A God-forsaken death. The Messiah. Dying a God-forsaken death? He didn't have to. He hadn't done anything wrong. It was our sins, our rebellions he died for. It was a love for us that took him there. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We had someone round for a meal last week. He used to come regularly to St. Helens on a Sunday, but he walked out of the church 12 years ago and turned his back on what Christian life he had. And he only returned to Christ about 2 weeks ago. As he was describing it to us, he said this. He said, no one ever told me I could come to Christ just as I am. Well, he said they did, but I never realized that it meant I could come to him with all my evil. That's the glory of the gospel, isn't it? That's what's so immensely attractive about Christ's love. I don't have to make myself good before he'll love me. Please, if you're not yet a Christian, don't be fooled. You almost certainly aren't fooled by us, but some of us Christians can make ourselves look very respectable. That has nothing to do with our becoming Christians. We're Christian because we're bad, not because we're good. And as a husband, I can't rejoice in that love and not show it to my wife. I'm commanded to copy it. The marriage relationship, a copy, not an original. A commitment, not a feeling. Lastly, it's giving, not taking. We live in a world obsessed by rights and needs and desires. I guess it's always been like that. But we've a way of making it even more prominent these days, haven't we? The Prudential ran a poster campaign down the Mile End Road recently. It was very cleverly done. It had the Prudential girl in different pictures. There were a couple of them identical twins, and the caption was, I want to be different. There was one with grey writing on it, only the caption in black, I want to be in the black. There was a double spread, everything extended out, I don't want to be cramped for space, it said. And then there was the one with ink running down the poster, I want to save for a rainy day. That was very clever, but actually an appalling campaign. When you think about it, it couldn't have been more blatantly appealing to our greed and selfishness. I want, I want, I don't want, I want. Very ordinary sayings, but they summarize attitudes that destroy a marriage. Come to it looking for what I want, what I can get, what I won't take. Marriage is a relationship based on a love that's all to do with giving, not taking. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, that he might, 27, present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Husbands, what are your ambitions for your wife? What do we long to see in our wives? What do we long for them to become? Do we stop to think about that? Even so, verse 28, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it as Christ does the church. We lavish immense care on our bodies, don't we? It's not just appearances, but when our bodies are hungry, we give them food. When they're cold, we put a few more clothes on. And when they're tired, we're very, very understanding. And when they make mistakes, we make excuses. Do we love our wives like that? Do we really treat them the way we treat ourselves? For this reason, verse 31, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. A man leaves. We really don't think in those terms, do we? So often wives are meant to give up their securities and come to us, but the man too in the Bible is to stake his investment in this relationship. I guess it's very difficult for many of us as husbands not to be ashamed of the way we've left not just our time at the office, but all our energy, our initiative taking, our decision making skills as well. If we invested in our marriages as we do in our careers, there may be some many different stories. So you look back at the original, see what kind of love we ought to be showing. Love your wives as Christ gave himself up for the church. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Well, Christ did leave home, didn't he? He couldn't have been more joined to the people he loved, more identified with them. The church isn't Christ's hobby. Now, he was so passionate for us, we were the death of him. And the two shall become one flesh. Well, I hardly dare say this, but it's there in the text. The act of sex, the two becoming one flesh, that act is a picture of the most sacred of all relationships. Christ's absolute committed self-giving to his church. The physical act of sex is intended to be an expression of giving, not just of taking. It's intended for an attitude that wants to bring pleasure to my partner, not just to get pleasure for myself. Indeed, when it becomes purely a taking thing, that's become an abused thing and an abusing thing. Ask any wife and she'll tell you you start making love long before you reach the bedroom. Because it's an expression of a relationship. And the relationship it expresses is one of such committed, self-giving love that gives what we all crave for, security, satisfaction. That's the joy of the gospel. You see, with Christ, I am utterly secure. He's the one person who knows the very worst thing there is to know about me. Now, there's plenty I've kept hidden from you. But he knows the very worst thing there is to know about me and still accepts me and goes on loving me. That is security. You can't prick that balloon. with Christ, I'm significant. Whatever value others place on me, whatever value I place on myself, Christ gave himself up for me. Went to the cross for me. I'm worth that. Can you believe it? You're worth that. Can you take it in? Well, marriage, the apostle tells us, is meant to copy that relationship. So go and use sex, the ultimate expression of marriage, outside of it. If you are married, what kind of copy do you have? And even if you're single, that's just to turn your back on the gospel original. We'll see more about that next week. But what's clear from this passage is that without the commitment, sex is no reflection of Christ's love for the church, and it's intended to be. Marriage. A copy, not an original. A commitment, not a feeling. Giving, not taking. Well, there we must leave it. It's difficult not to think that almost all of us will need to do some thinking and repenting of how we handle relationships. Husbands, how we've treated our wives. Wives, how you've treated your husbands. Christians, men, women, how we've treated one another. Not yet Christian. How you're spurning the gospel love. Let's pray. Father, forgive us. Forgive us our many imperfections and failings. Forgive us that so many of our marriages are such pale imitations of the original. Father, thank you that the love you command us to show is itself a tender, sacrificial, forgiving love. Give us the grace to repent and the strength to display that love for Jesus' sake. Amen.